All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fucking ears? What the fucksters? What the fuckaholics? What the fuckadelics? What the fuckleberry fins? What's happening? It's me, Mark Maron. I am in New York City as I record this in my hotel room. What am I doing in New York, you'll ask? Why didn't we know this before? Why don't we know things about you, Mark? You tell us everything. I don't understand why we don't know exactly what you're doing and when you're doing it and where you're doing it and why. I am in New York. I came out here. I'm in between tour dates. I will be in Seattle at the Neptune Theater this Friday for two shows. I'll be in Vancouver at the Vogue for one show on Saturday. Saturday the 10th in San Francisco at Davies Symphony Hall on the 11th on Mother's Day. Bring your moms. It's a mom-friendly show, that show. That's my next comedy special, mom-friendly. So that's happening. So I came to New York primarily for the upfronts for Vice. Vice, the magazine and online content provider of mayhem, and also they have a new show on HBO, are going to have a channel. And I am doing a show on that channel, on the Vice channel. I will be doing a thing called Vice Portraits with Mark Maron. This will be an interview format show, but out in the world. I'm going to go out in the world to talk to people in environments that mean something to them, something or something out of their comfort zone, but it will be candid conversations with creative people and interesting people the way I do it. We'll be setting up that show. I think every episode we will explore my various methods of preparation, which have nothing to do with preparation. So that's happening. I don't know what channel it will be. I don't know when it will start, but that is happening. But Maron on IFC returns to the cable airwaves on May 14th. And I've encouraged some of you who are not radical cord cutters, and I'm sorry to offend any of you who take your cord cutting disposition as an emblem of your righteous fuck you demeanor. Did not mean to push any buttons. I guess I keep cable by default because I don't think I'd watch anything if I didn't occasionally sit on my couch and try to figure out how to watch on-demand shows, which is still baffling to me. I don't know what channels I have. I'm very frustrated with my cable box. I'm about to call Time Warner and tell them to shove it up their giant mechanical asshole because it takes a lot of time for me to switch channels and it seems to be making weird noises. Is there any reason to complain about this publicly? Not really. Look, I'm frustrated with cable too, but the point is that sometimes we have to respect these arcane methods, these ancient systems, these decaying mechanical paradigms in order to garner the attention necessary to continue doing something within that paradigm as it slowly deflates and loses its wind and gasps away as the other thing moves full force into the future. Well, I guess what I'm saying, rather poetically and probably not in the best way possible, is that if you could get IFC for the airing of my show, that would be helpful in the ratings game, which still matters to people in that game. So, May 14th, get IFC for a couple of months, or at least find out if you have it. Or you can wait a year until it goes on Netflix, or you can get it on iTunes. A lot of ways to get it. Or you can DVR it. That's fine. Look, I'm just saying I'm excited about the show. I know that's not what came out, but I'm excited about the show. I think this season's the best season we've done. I think the stories are good. They're funny. They're interesting. I think I'm better. You know, I'm no Olivier, but I think by the third season here, I've got the hang of being me on TV. So enjoy. Enjoy Maron on IFC. The first episode co-stars Constance Zimmer, Elliot Gould, Alex Rocco, and also the lovely Lucy Davis, who plays my manager this season. Very exciting. I'm excited for you to enjoy them. So that's the big plug on that front. I just have a lot of things going on, and obviously I'm on the road, and obviously I'm in a hotel room, and obviously I'm not eating well, and obviously I don't know if I have allergies or cancer, and obviously there are problems. But did I mention Parker Posey is on the show today? The lovely and amazing indie film goddess, great actress, incredible dynamic person, came over here to my temporary studio in my hotel room to talk to me. That's always a little awkward. Yeah, I'm doing interviews, coming up to the hotel room. Yeah, it's not even a suite. We're just basically in my bedroom sitting at a little table. She brought her doggy, who peed. You'll hear that, I believe.
Her dog peed twice in my hotel room. I guess I better not mention the name of the hotel because that might not be a good thing for me. She's somehow trained it to pee on Kleenex. All right. That worked once. Then the other one was, yeah, maybe I should keep it to myself. So what have I been doing? I mean, you know I'm on tour. And we added a bunch of dates. So you can go to WTFpod.com/calendar. Because the dates I've got coming up, obviously Seattle and Vancouver this Saturday, May 9th. And May 10th at the Symphony Hall in San Francisco. But May 14th, I'm at the Asheville, North Carolina at the Orange Peel. And May 15th, I'm in Charleston at the Charleston Music Hall. And May 16th, I'm at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta. May 17th, I'm at the Joy Theater in New Orleans. June 5th, the Playhouse Square in Cleveland. I added a bunch of shows. In Chicago, I'm doing two shows at the Vic Theater on June 6th. June 7th, I'm in Minneapolis at Pantages. June 25th at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester, New York. June 26th at the BAM Opera House in Brooklyn, New York. June 27th, the Paramount Theater, Huntington, New York. June 28th, Count Basie Theater, Red Bank, New Jersey. July 10th, Aladdin Theater, Portland, Oregon. July 11th, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. July 24th, Boulder Theater, Boulder, Colorado. July 25th, Paramount Theater in Denver, Colorado. So if I named your city, go to WTFpod.com/calendar and get your tickies. Get your tickets. God damn, that's a long tour. What am I doing here on Wednesday? I'm interviewing Terry Gross, the host of NPR's Fresh Air, live in front of an audience at an event at the Brooklyn Academy of Music at the BAM Opera House. That's for the Radio Love Fest. That's this Wednesday. Okay? All right? Yes, I'm going to talk to the amazing interviewer herself, the world-renowned Terry Gross. We're going interviewer to interviewer, head-to-head. So here's what I learned, and here's what I'm learning as I get older, is that as I get older, I don't know if I am more mature or if I'm maturing or if I'm getting more mature or I'm just getting tired. I think it might be tired. I don't know if I'm getting wiser or I'm just not remembering as much as I used to. It's a fine line between maturity and exhaustion as you get older and wisdom and just I don't really remember. And I feel okay about that. I'm not carrying that with me anymore. I've relieved myself of that burden of that memory involuntarily as my brain flickers off as the years keep stacking up certain areas of the brain. The lights are going out. We're turning off that marquee. We're turning off the fuck you dad marquee. That show is it's not running anymore. We close that show. We closed the why, Mom? That show ran for 50 years, and it was very popular with an audience of one, the bad part of me, and that we've had to close that show down, too. And I have no problem with that. I don't know if that's wisdom, but it's a little better. It's a little better. So I'm here. I'm in New York, and I'm spending time with the few friends that I have that, that I've had for many years. I find that's important to do. You know, Louis's out of town, so I missed him. But like I went and saw my buddy John Daniel. We go back. He's in the music business. He spent an hour with him, got caught up, talked about his business. I talked about my business. We ate. We said, like, you look good. Your health okay? Yeah, my health's okay. Everybody in your family okay? Yeah, everything's okay. All right, well, it's good to see you. Feels good. That's what you do with old friends. Sometimes that's all you can do, and that's enough. Like, you're not going to catch up on everything. You're not in the loop of their lives, but you can certainly check in and say, I love you, buddy. Went up to my buddy Sam Lipsight's house, the genius novelist. Checked in with him, hung out, worked through some sadness, told him some stuff in my life. He told me some stuff in his. We had a range of emotions. We spent a couple hours together. I saw his kids, saw his wife, Caridwin. A very pleasant time. Spent 3 hours in the apartment just hanging out, snacking, having a coffee, getting up, sitting down, having a hug, maybe having a few welling up of the eyes. And then we took a little walk. See you later, buddy. Good friend. Love you. We checked in. That's good. Once or twice a year. Got to do it. Got to do it if we're not going to be traveling together. If we're not backpacking, got to check in. Just took a walk with Todd Barry, which was just like the old times. I don't know if you guys remember this. Why would you? Many years ago, me and Todd were sort of in the same boat. And he's one of my favorite comics, and he's a good old friend of mine. But, you know, a lot of the other guys like Louis and Nick DiPaolo, Jeff Ross, or who was then Jeff Lifshultz, people, a lot of those people were working all the clubs, and Todd and I were sort of limited to one club, and we'd hang around clubs. But we'd spend a lot of days just walking around the village, talking about shit, talking about comics, talking about clothes, talking about money, talking about where we live, just talking like a couple of dudes talking. That's part of our job. So today, you know, I ran into, you know, Todd last night briefly, and then today he called me up. You want to have coffee? So we had coffee. Then we had some Chinese food. Then we walked around Soho. Then I got some ice cream, which I don't feel great about, though Todd didn't eat ice cream. Spent a few hours with Todd, catching up, doing what we used to do, like old buddies. And you know what? Didn't miss a beat. Didn't seem any different than it ever did. Never any tension with your true old friends. And that's what I'm doing in New York. That and some work. So now, let's enjoy my chat with the lovely Parker Posey, who you may know from any number of movies. Do you need credits? Would that help you place her? If some of you are like, Parker, who? I mean, I would hope that's not the case. So many waiting for Guffman, Henry Fool. She was in Best in Show. Clock Watchers, Party Girl, wow, Coneheads, Dazed and Confused, way back. She's amazing, and she's in my hotel room. So enjoy this. So, what?
Oh, Gracie.
What's she doing now?
She just pit all, but.
Oh, she just peed on the rug here. That's hold okay.
On. Hold on. Do you want to hold my mic? What?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm not concerned about the pee on the rug. Are you? I guess I have a different relationship with hotels. That's an 11-year-old dog.
Yeah. Yeah, her name is Gracie. Is that she should be a Bichon Poodle Maltese. She's 11. She's very smart.
Is that your longest relationship to date?
Yes. What about you? What's your longest relationship?
I don't know. I think...
You know, people used to not live so long.
So that's it?
Yeah. It's one of the things, you know. Do you believe in karma?
Kinda.
That you're going to, like, you're here to kind of live through all your stories through various people.
Oh, my God. Again?
Different lifetimes.
Again?
It kind of makes sense.
But if this is the one I'm living now, I can't imagine how shitty the other one must have been. Like, I mean, how, like, do we get it right? And are we aware when we know, when we nail it?
I don't know.
But you believe it?
It makes the most sense to me.
My longest relationship was probably 8 years.
Yeah.
Eight.
That's big. That was in your 20s?
I don't know.
I had a 5-year, a 3-year, a 2-year. Yeah.
And now I wonder what the point of it is.
Yeah, now it's just devastation. Now it's just bad theater. Right?
Bad theater of two people trying to act like they're doing something differently. That's how it's bad theater. It's like, I don't do this anymore. I'm not this person anymore. I'm better.
I don't understand this. So either you connect with someone or you're pretending...
Oh, right.
Something else.
Right, or you're waiting for it. Maybe it'll kick in. You ever do that one? It's going to kick in pretty soon. They like me a lot. I think this is going to kick in any minute. I'm going to feel like they feel. I've done that one. I've done real intense ones that just get
I've
crazy.
I've had like three, the last three encounters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what my therapist calls relationships. He doesn't call them relationships because that's too heavy. It's too loaded.
So you knew their names.
You encounter someone. I didn't know their names, no. So you encounter someone, and if you have a true encounter, it's a real connection. But if you're like dating, I mean, doesn't dating sound so... fabricated and
does it even
phony.
Happen anymore? I don't fucking know what that is.
I don't know. I don't date.
Have you had this moment where you're like, I don't have to put up with this shit?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm not that. See, I'm a curious person, and I have a hard time saying no.
Yeah.
So, in the past few months, I've been asked out on a date by men in their 70s.
Wow.
Yeah, like I was at a gala a few nights ago.
A gala for what?
No, it was last week at PS 122.
Oh, for a thing?
Yeah, and one of the board members said, hey, there's a man here, he really wants to meet you, and he was really excited that you were here. And then I meet him, and he has two grown daughters. So he says, can I take you out to lunch? And I couldn't say, like, no, I don't eat lunch.
Right. You know? I'm against lunch. It's
I can't. I was like, sure. And this could be interesting. And
yeah.
So I gave him my email.
Right.
And I didn't give him a fake email.
Right.
And
but who was this guy? Was he a legit guy?
He emailed me right away.
Of course. As you were walking away?
As he was, as he was in the cab.
Uh-huh. And what was this guy? Was he an artiste? Was he an entrepreneur?
Like, yeah,
was he
a philanthropist? He's a philanthropist.
Uh-huh.
The older guys and this one man I had a few dates with. Gracie's just making a bed right now. That's what she's doing when she digs like that.
Okay. She's not burying on my bed?
No.
Okay, so you go out with this. How old is he, 90?
I was dating a 60-year-old a year ago.
Well, that's not so horrible. How old are you?
46.
I'm 51.
I liked it.
You did? Yeah. What about it?
He was mature. And he was
it's okay.
You know.
I would hope so at 60.
You know what? Right. Actually, he was really immature.
Immature?
But he was experienced, I should say.
Ah.
And he was fascinating. And
what was he, an artiste?
He's a writer.
A writer?
Mm-hmm.
A known writer?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah. I would say.
And it was fun? How long did you go out with that guy, the 60-year-old?
I was on and off for a year and a half. And then it kind of fizzled. And that's what he was like. It's just going to be devastation, Parker.
Really?
Yeah.
For him?
Yeah. It was however this turns out. We're just going to be devastated. And I'm like, well, come on. We got to ride this out. You know, we care about each other. We love each other. And you can't just, you know, destroy something in front of me, you know. And we're
still afraid.
Connected. He's very afraid. He's very masculine. And like
people don't
a
think
minotaur. He's a minotaur.
Right. A rugged old alpha male.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and just blew through his life like like on fire.
Trying to avoid the crash
the pain
of heartbreak.
And emptiness, yeah.
But you were going to bring it out in him. He decided.
I
like
did,
this,
obviously.
You crushed
him.
He'll get a book out of it, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
it was
he
an
needed
inspiration.
It. Sure, that's it. You were a muse, muse.
Yeah,
that's what you are.
I was a muse. I died 1,000 times and he watched me. And
I just don't, you know, you get to a point where it's like, what are we doing? Is it just, what is it about? Is it about sex? Is it about, you know, are we being honest with ourselves? What's happening?
I think it's about evolving.
Yeah.
And in a partnership.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a true partnership should be creative and alive and... And when it's dead, it's over.
And have you had those?
If there's a deadliness.
Right. Well, does that come from living with each other? Like the deadliness?
Maybe.
Have you done
maybe.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
How's that work for you?
I'm such a nurturer, caretaker.
Really?
I love to cook. I love to make house. And,
oh, yeah?
And
do you take in strays, stray humans? Have you had any stray?
I like that. I'm kind of a hippie mama.
Yeah?
I have a place upstate.
You do?
Yeah, it's an old farmhouse, and bless you, she's coughing now. Get it out.
I think she's all right.
Yeah, she's good.
So you go upstate and you hang out and
I go
upstate.
Now I have to, I've been renting it, though, because I can't afford it anymore, because, you know, nothing pays anymore unless you get a big TV show.
You've been working.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm not in that high... caliber of you know, I don't make millions of dollars at all.
Is that upset you? What role could you see? What million-dollar role would you like to do? Do you see yourself as a leading lady? Would you like to be a superhero?
That all sounds like fun.
There's only roles for superheroes now.
I could be like a scientist in one of those shows.
Yeah, or villain maybe. Could you be a villain?
I could be a villain.
Sure.
Maybe in the Furious 7 or whatever.
Whatever they are. Yeah.
What about me in that?
Sure.
I could fit right in.
The Avengers. You're the lady who made the thing.
Yeah. Dr. So-and-so.
Yeah. It seems like psychic, some sure. psychic lady that comes out of nowhere, like from the Matrix.
Right.
And just knows give me everything. Some money and like, yeah.
You'll do
and
it.
Knows everything. Why can't those movies be more fun? Or just funny? You know what?
I don't watch like them. When I haven't
I
do, seen them.
I know. Well, I went into to one of them just to see when I was on location.
To read for them?
No, no. I'm not the kind of woman that's in those movies. I'm too old, first of all. But I think I could fit into one of those.
But you got no problem with TV. You've done a lot of TV.
No, I don't. But what I was going to say yes. is like in those scary movies, in these horror movies,
yeah.
don't you think everyone could be having a lot more fun?
I think they should have more fun to make their death even more, you know, amazing. They all seem to know it's coming.
Yeah, and they're really cool about it. Yeah. And this insane yeah. thing is happening around them.
Yeah. Well, they're stupid, you know, if you really look at the reality
That's
frame,
what I think, too, which is really funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
I was in Scream 3, and that was when I was talking to Wes Craven about it. I was like, yeah, why are these people in this
What did he say?
World? Like, they have to be crazy, yeah. you know, like, or they would just leave. And I know that's like...
It's what
a crazy
say?
Thing to say. He laughed.
He laughed. He's like, this is a horror movie. What do you think you're doing?
And so it was fun to kind of play with the with the genre of that. And because it's fun being scared. And if there's someone chasing you wearing a mask, you're going to be screaming and maybe laughing and like dealing with it. Like, oh my God, I'm about to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And like holding on to yeah. whoever's in front of you.
Yeah.
And like, I don't see that passion, you know,
right.
in those movies. And I would love that.
Yeah.
And I think other people would love that too.
It seems hackneyed now. They just sort of know it's coming and they blasé kind of, ah, but there's no like, oh, I'm dying and it's great.
I'm dying. I love you. yeah. I'm going to miss you. Where's What's that? On the other side?
Where are my parents? Say goodbye to them.
I forgive you.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. The one thing you don't
Wouldn't
see
it
is
be great
the
if
sad,
you saw that?
Desperate humiliation of those moments.
Yeah.
That would be really terrifying. You can't play that shit real in those movies.
Yeah.
Where the sort of begging and pleading in a real way and the horrendous fear of knowing that shit. Horrible.
You see, the paradox, too, is that there'd really be no way to make sense of it besides other movies that you've seen. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like, I broke my wrist last year, and I just kept thinking of Agent Brody in Homeland. And it just kept, you know, and it was a really bad break. And
yeah.
I had to have wrist surgery.
Right,
I had, like,
right.
pins in my wrist. And then I just had this loop that I felt like I was being, you know, tortured.
I talked
and
to her.
And that I was in Homeland. Yes, I heard that. She was great. That was a great interview.
She's a very earnest person.
Oh, yeah. She's a serious actress.
Yeah, she's a very
yeah,
serious person.
She's major.
Yeah, it was
you know,
kind
I
of
saw
intense.
Her right yeah. before. Yeah, I saw her right before she did that show. Her intensity struck me, you know?
Yeah.
And then so when I saw that she was in the show, she was working for the CIA, I was like, wow, she really carries that. That she's meant to be right there and play that part.
Yeah.
But not, I don't know, any other actress who could do that successfully. It's
Well, she's real kind of like, she's a very controlled person. Mm. She's very intense. You know, she runs a tight ship. With her vessel, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's out there.
The stakes are really high.
Yeah.
How did that happen? I love that. How do you explain that in people?
What?
Their velocities, their
How do
capacity.
You? What do you say about yourself? Like if someone were to say, hey, Parker, what velocity are you operating at? Are you falling
you know,
all the time?
I'm one of those like, I think everything forms and shapes you before you're, you know, 6 years old and you just keep kind
Oh,
of
yeah. Well, what
that.
Happened then? Like where'd you come from? What's the source of Parker Posey? Where did it start?
I'm from Louisiana. I was born in Baltimore, Maryland. My dad was stationed in Vietnam. He was stationed in Baltimore there. He was drafted.
Did he go to Vietnam?
Yeah, yeah. So he was gone for the first 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. So that made me very,
what
you
did,
know,
what did he come out with? How was he? Is he all right?
The pictures of him from Vietnam, he's holding a martini, you know. He's
out in the jungle.
They're in the office.
Okay.
You know, in they're drinking.
Right.
And they're
so
not a
necklace of ears, a martini.
He got shot at.
Yeah.
Through and a bullet went through his helmet.
Oh God.
And what struck him was how personal he took it, and he thought, "Why would anyone want to shoot me?"
Me, huh?
And when you think of that, it's like, were so insane. I can't believe we're still doing it.
Well, we're doing
we're
it.
We're people here.
Yeah.
The obvious thing, we're people here, you know?
We're doing it from the sky with less men on the ground now.
Yeah.
It's a little more impersonal and horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But that is interesting because, you know, you're in the Army, whether you got drafted or not, you're in the forces and you're part of this team that's supposed to be defending something. And it's seen, you know, generally by the military and by the people at large as the Army, not as that guy.
That's right.
But if you're that guy, why wouldn't you take it personally?
That's right. Yeah.
But he came out mentally okay. And
Now he suffered from PTSD, I think, later in his life.
Oh, really?
And he has prostate cancer now. But he's a really funny, you know, I describe him as a comedian without a venue. He's like, he could walk out on stage and have a show. He's hysterical.
So you're close to him still?
He's the center of attention.
Yeah. Are they still together?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you come from that stability or that commitment, that loyalty,
I think it's called like their crazy dance.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a compatibility. Yeah, they're still together.
And you got brothers, sisters?
And they're tight. I have a twin brother.
Identical?
No.
Does that happen?
No.
With boys and girls?
No.
What's the other kind called?
Fraternal.
Yeah.
So there were two separate eggs.
Right. Hanging out together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so my mom thinks that I was conceived later than my brother.
Like a few minutes?
Is
it a quick turnaround on that one? Let's go.
I'd say maybe a few weeks. I don't know.
Is that possible? Does that happen?
Yeah, can. And
it's like a cat.
Uh-huh.
Cats can have like a few different kittens from several different fathers just in the same litter.
That's right.
Huh. I didn't know humans could do that. Is that her theory or is that?
Yeah, that's what she thinks. Because I was so premature. We were both premature.
Like how premature?
So 6 weeks.
Oh.
So I was only like 2.5 pounds.
Oh my God. Were you in the incubator?
I stayed in an incubator for the first six weeks of my life. And my brother was 5 pounds. I was 2.5 pounds. So I was a preemie.
Yeah.
And
so that's her theory.
I was very, very tiny. So I was born, you know, fighting for my life and the doctors didn't think I was going to live. And, you know, there's a big drama to the story that I heard every year of we need a name for the death certificate. What do you want to, you know?
That was the family story?
Yeah.
Just in case?
Yeah. And so they named me Parker and my middle name Christian because they asked for the help of Jesus. And I was raised Catholic.
Well, maybe Jesus stepped in. Maybe.
I think he did. And my dad, according to my dad, who was holding a six pack of beer, you know, stationed in Baltimore, Maryland, he looks down at a beer can and he looks at me in the incubator and he's on his knees, you know, praying. And he's like, my daughter is the size of this beer can. Please, Jesus, let my baby live. And then I screamed. And that's the story.
That's the story? So
it's very dramatic, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good, right?
It's a real crack.
My daughter, she's a beer can on legs.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, what are you talking about? And he's like telling this story. I'm like, that's so funny, you know? Yeah, yeah. But he like made up stories. Like when my brother and I were in kindergarten, my brother raised his hand and the teacher asked what our parents did for work. And my brother said, my dad was an Indian 100 years ago. That was one of the stories that my dad, but maybe he was
an Indian.
Indian, yeah, American Indian. But he wasn't.
I don't know.
But maybe he was. Who knows?
But we talk about karma. Do you believe that the past life thing too?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I think it's fun.
What's fun? But do you believe it?
I'm entertaining the idea. I'm entertaining the idea. It's like I'm not gonna like stand up and like I believe this. I like to.
Sure. Why not?
Entertain the idea. Yeah. Sure. Like, why not? I think it's fun.
Right. It's like oh yeah, maybe I was. But then in a more serious...
Maybe I was Cleopatra. Yeah. Oh, she said she was Cleopatra, too.
How can maybe we were both Cleopatra.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe there's...
Right. And then the fun ends, and you're like, this is stupid. Where are we eating?
This is stupid. Where are we eating?
Yeah, that's life right there.
That's good.
That's all of it.
So you talked to Louis on the phone, you said?
I texted him.
You texted him, and he texted you back?
I said I was going to talk to you, and he said, she's an amazing, he phrased it very nicely.
Oh, good.
Like, it was nice. I mean, I should even tell you. It was that nice.
That's nice. That's nice of him.
He said,
I saw him
she's a huge and rare talent.
That's a good quote. I like that.
Yeah, you can I'll put take that blurb. Where that's
yeah,
a blurb for you.
That's great. You know, when I do social it. Media,
sure.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with that.
Says, quote, huge and rare talent.
That's such a good idea.
What was your experience working with him? Was it crazy?
Because
that was a pretty disturbing role.
Oh my God, it was so sad.
Brutal.
Brutal.
But how much of that did you bring to the table? Because I know, like, I've been on a couple of shows. I've worked with him as a director. I mean, because the script doesn't usually, I mean, he's pretty sparse on the page.
No, this was all written.
All written.
All written.
In terms of the tone?
In terms of
the tone. I mean, like you know, you could see the dialogue, but how much did you have to bring emotionally to that thing? It was all you, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think, you know what I loved about that part? It was a real mix of characters that I loved, that I'd watch on TV or in films growing up, like Ruth Gordon.
Oh, right. Yeah,
in,
yeah.
Harold
Adam's
and
Rib. Maude. Oh, Adam, yeah.
Adam's Rib I love too.
She's great.
Yeah.
That was her. Oh, she wrote that. She wasn't in that, right? That was her script for Spencer Tracy and Catherine
But this,
Hepburn.
You know, this woman that's like a free spirit, and she's searching and just living her life and absorbing, and she's dying. You know,
yeah.
She's gonna die.
You knew that at the beginning.
Yeah, this is it. So I did this. I did you know, an actor named Frank Whaley.
Yeah.
He had a benefit reading. He organized a benefit reading for his kid's school, and we did a play reading of Christopher Durang's Beyond Therapy.
Oh yeah.
And I played a therapist, and Louis
play,
played a
kinda.
Therapist.
Yeah.
Marissa Tomei was
Louis
in
played
it.
A therapist.
Yes. Mario Cantone, Nathan Lane. It was this amazing cast for like 200 people.
Right.
And sold out in like a second. So I met Louis on stage doing that, and he said, let's work something, you know, let's work together. I'd love to do something with you. So I gave him my number, and like a few nights after that, I texted him. He texted me back, and we met at this little place down the street from me, and we hung out for like 2 or 3 hours just talking.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, okay, I see a lot of different things going on with you. You can play this, you can play that. You're reminding me of this story I heard at an airport. This woman, the story, she had cancer.
Right.
And an artist friend I know. And we talked about... would you ever want to, you know, die? I would love to die, you know, on play a character who is dying or have a death scene.
Yeah.
Is interesting to me.
So he conceived the whole character with you.
Yes. And then when he walked me to my apartment, it was really nice out, and I said, come up to my roof. I have a roof garden in the building. And I went up to the roof, and then I went to the ledge and looked over, and he went, "No, my God, what are you doing?"
He freaked out.
Yeah, he freaked out. Yeah. So that's how that all came to life. And he only took like 2 or 3 weeks to write it.
Yeah, he
And
goes
I went
quick.
Over to his apartment, and he said, "This isn't an audition, but I'd like you to read this." And I read it out loud once, and then like a month later, we shot it. And then when I had to die and let go of, you know, when I had to do that scene in the hospital, I was not happy, and it was very hard. Because I felt like I had brought so much life to her. And I was really upset that she
what
was...
What you got into?
Yeah.
You were all excited to die.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, no.
So you shot that all in one... So he cut that
in... It was like 6 days.
Right.
Yeah, we shot that in 6 days. And now I'm like, I wanna bring her back to life.
How?
Writing something.
Did you tell him? Is that what you're texting him about?
I did have this idea. I did have this idea that Liz would be brought to life, and I'd work as a zombie in the bookstore in Brooklyn.
And everybody was just okay with it. She's back.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah. But she'd still be nice and stuff.
Sure. She wouldn't eat people.
Still be funny.
Maybe she'd eat books.
People. But maybe she'd just be a ghost. I loved that part. I thought I'd play parts like that my whole career, you know? But they're just not written. That's not in style anymore.
What kind of part is that, you think? Like, what do you mean that kind of part?
Free spirit, like witty.
Well, you're always very witty, and you're always very compelling, and you're sometimes a little kooky and intense.
Thank you.
Because certain people seem to know how to use you, right?
That's right.
I mean, Christopher Guest seems to know how to use you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, will you come be the Parker Posey thing?
Yeah, yeah. Those movies are so much fun. I love him so much.
And those are primarily improvised, right?
They're all improvised, yeah.
And you're comfortable with that? You love it.
At first, it's a little scary.
How much does he give you in each movie?
So there's like an outline. It's like, so Meg and Hamilton Swan are in therapy, you know, in the first scene. He's in therapy. And they talk about their dog.
Which movie is this? Oh, yeah, right. Okay, right.
They talk about their dog, Beatrice.
Who's your husband?
Hitchcock. Michael Hitchcock.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
He's so good.
Yeah.
This is a catalog. They were described as a catalog couple.
Uh-huh.
Like all cataloged. Their house is all cataloged. They're really concerned that their dog Beatrice won't be able to compete in the Westminster Dog Show,
right?
Because she caught them having sex and she's been having a hard time. And she also, and this didn't make it into the movie, it was a really funny scene where I'm yelling at my maid because the dog pooped in my husband's slipper.
Right.
Because she was really upset, Beatrice.
Yeah.
So she pooped in the slipper. It's just so absurd.
And then he just ripped.
I love him. How great is that? Isn't that cute and funny?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this? You know, yelling at Lucy. Lucy, look what Beatrice did. What am I supposed to do about this?
Oh.
So funny.
And almost then, robot people. In a way, except they have everything's invested in this dog. But the relationship dynamic is they're both sort of like cookie cutter people. But
high achiever.
Right. All the emotion is around the animal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And but I was also, I made her a pill popper and a stoner. And none of that was in there. So,
yeah.
But every now
and
then
Chris
I reach
just
out
goes, that's
just
great. Like,
yeah, I take a sip. I think it was in the outline.
Oh,
that she was medicated.
And
which is too bad, because that's when all the medication was becoming popular, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now
everybody's on it.
Now everyone's medicated. Are you medicated?
No, I'm not.
Me neither.
Yeah. We're the last holdouts.
This juice is
well, it just depends, how hard do you want to fight the fight, you know what I mean? I think they just kind of give people medication without any real diagnosis of anything. It's just sort of like, oh, you don't feel right? Try these. Come back in 3 weeks if you start talking funny or you put on 12 pounds or you can't fuck anymore. You know, call me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the pill.
Yeah. If you feel better, then great. Then we'll stay on it for a while.
But it's got to change you and make you feel funny.
I don't know. I think something goes on with
the brain. And now people identify themselves as like
what?
OCD or ADD. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of identifiers.
They start to...
Bipolar 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Manic.
I'm bipolar. Yeah. I'm this or I'm that.
Good for you.
It's like you're a human being.
Well, I don't know what people really expect out of themselves, you know, trying to adapt to all the input. You know what I mean? It's going to be it's a rough shift.
Yeah.
You know, like the kids,
the
kids half our age are sort of, you know, wired in a different way than we are. A lot of noise for us. We're a little, we come from the crashing wave of the 60s. We're
That's
sensitive,
right.
open people.
Yeah, we were in the Reagan years.
Yeah, it's just like there.
We rebelled against the Reagan years.
There was less onslaught of fucking with our heads. I don't know what it is.
Also like the 20-somethings too, like the movies they watched, lots of slasher films.
Yeah, but yeah, right, they're numb or something.
Yeah,
but I don't want to, it's so hard to talk about it without feeling like those kids.
I know. This is how we get old.
I guess.
This is how
are
we get...
Are we right, though?
Yeah.
Should we be concerned, though?
It's a generation gap.
You don't have kids, right?
No.
I don't either. So how concerned can I really be? It's like, well, they seem problematic. I don't know directly. But I find them annoying.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But also when I don't have kids and we're not married, you and me, I don't really know how old I am most of the time. I don't know how old other people are.
How old do you feel? Do you feel 30?
No, I don't even know. I don't even know if I felt 30 when I felt 30. There's some part of my brain that remains sort of steady the same way it always was. And then every once in a while you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, that's happening. Okay. But then, like, I don't know if I'm talking.
You always feel the same. You just keep getting older.
I know.
But you always feel the same. Yeah, I still feel the same.
Some people slow down, though. You have friends, right? Sometimes I see people that I haven't seen in 10 years. That's always an indicator. Like, you see somebody you haven't seen in, like, 15 years. Yeah. And now, all of a sudden, we're the age we are. And you're like, oh, boy, what happened to you? You seem to have slowed down a bit. And,
A deadliness, right?
Oh, what are you going to do?
Not experiencing their life, maybe, right? That's kind of asleep.
Maybe we're projecting that. Maybe they see us and they think the same thing. Like, oh, that something's gone wrong there. No?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if I'm talking to a 20-year-old or a 35-year-old. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Do you? Generally?
I
can tell if they're like, they're teenagers usually.
I can tell.
And I don't have
difference of the generation gap of the late 20s and 30s. Yeah. Especially in the with the girls.
But they don't. Does it bother you that they don't? Like, I sometimes talk about things on the podcast, or I'll tweet something, or I'll bring it up in conversation about movies that we grew up with, and they're like, "What? I had no idea this was even a thing." Like, like The Godfather. How do you not watch The fucking Godfather?
That's crazy,
right?
Yeah,
and they don't care.
Yeah,
and so are we. But are we just old people going like, "You've got to watch The Godfather, you dummy"?
Yeah.
So when did you start acting? What happened? So you're in New Orleans? You're in Louisiana, New Orleans? That's where you grew up? After Baltimore?
Around there.
In the South. It's sweaty and hot.
I was
and
a ballerina.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And your dad did what after Vietnam?
Car dealership. So my uncle Van, Truman Van Beethoven. Yeah. My dad was he's like a surrogate dad to my dad. And he was a big, big daddy from, Tennessee Williams play.
Oh, really?
Really big character, If the ketchup wasn't on the table, he'd slam his hand down on the table and just say, ketchup, And he was a real star. And so my dad was a car salesman for him. And then, but in the beginning, my dad was going to be an English teacher, but it didn't make enough money. So he's very, he'd read to me and tell me stories. My grandmother, his mother, would sing sad cowboy songs and make everyone cry.
Where was she from?
Louisiana, but she was also from Belgium.
So they're from Louisiana. Your dad was from Louisiana.
Yeah,
so he always had a new car, though, right?
Yeah, this was during the Cadillac.
So he was a Cadillac salesman?
Mm-hmm.
So a big old Cadillac.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
Now that's good.
Yeah.
Those are big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my uncle Truman loaned me one of his Cadillacs when I was doing a play at the Geffen Playhouse in my 20s and had no money. And he loaned me this
LA?
Yeah, this big red convertible Cadillac.
Where, from Louisiana? Or he was
He had a house in San Diego. So,
he got someone to drive
down there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so nice. It was like driving a boat.
What play in your 20s did you do?
It was a play called Four Dogs and a Bone, a John Patrick Shanley play.
Was that the early thing, the start? Did you want to be theater?
No, mostly? I started out as a ballerina. I started out as a dancer. That was probably the first. I'm just doing, my wrist is a little tight.
Well, no, but you were saying it while you were talking about dancing, and I took it as dancing. That's how I received that.
Yeah.
That I was getting a small, you were like saying, I started off as a ballerina, and then I went to modern, which is what I'm doing now.
If I had been turned on to modern dance, I might have, I could see myself dancing like that. I was really into dance. So I was in a company when I was 11.
Really? So you were good?
Monroe, Louisiana.
Oh, well, how good were you? Good?
I was good.
Were you tall enough?
I wasn't tall enough, but I had...
Moxie?
I had presence. Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
And so I was in a little company, and then I auditioned for North Carolina School of the Arts when I was 12. And I went to the school there, and I didn't get in. And the dean of the school called my dad, my dad called the dean of the school and said, my daughter's going to be really upset. What do I tell her? And he said, tell her she's an actress. And that's how it started. And I was like,
really?
Yeah, 12, 13 years old.
You went in for dancing, And they were like,
no. No, she's...
And then did he say, well, could you take her as an actress then?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, can I just go there and hang out? Because they...
Did they have an acting program?
They did, but in college.
Oh, so you're too young.
But I went back for the summer programs in high school, and it was there that I, really...
Did you lock in with a teacher?
Yeah, a few teachers, but...
How old were you?
13, 14, 15. But even earlier, my cousin reminded me of this. I'd forgotten about it, and it's funny. When I was 8 and we were at camp, Strong River Camp and Farm in Mississippi, they asked me to be the director and the leader of the play for the kids. Mm-hmm. And so I made a Little Red Riding Hood, a detective, uncovering the case of Goldilocks and the Three Bears as Kojak.
Then this was your conception?
Yeah. And then I walked out on stage. And I said, "Who loves you, baby?" And everyone started laughing. And I remember thinking, this isn't funny. I'm a detective.
They're laughing at me.
No, I was like, no. Yeah, this is really serious.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
And I remember that. I remember that feeling.
And you were 13 or 12?
I was 8.
All right.
And
so you were like, I'm playing this straight. I'm Kojak. I'm a detective.
Yeah,
Little Red Riding Hood. Yeah, Telly Savalas.
Yeah, I loved him.
Yeah. Yeah,
but great. I always knew I'd do something different, and teachers told me. Yeah, I was.
You'd had no idea that it was funny. That's cute.
No.
Do you know when you're funny now, or do you play everything pretty serious? Because I mean, those Christopher Guest movies, those are pretty.
They're pretty serious.
Very serious.
Yeah, and you know, it's
can't
like
play
he
that
puts
for the...
yeah he puts a hand on your shoulder and says before a take, you know, this is not too far from the truth, you know. People are
in
really,
every movie.
Yeah, people are really like this.
Oh, that's his direction. That's his basic direction. It's like, don't even think to play this.
Don't
comedic...
No. That's like,
yeah,
that's shameful.
If you're
pushing that
right.
like thing, like I'm gonna but be that, really funny.
That's his quiet reminder. This is
real. Yeah. And he doesn't look at them like satires.
Clowns. Right.
Yeah, this is like
he loves
this is
people.
How people are now. And you know, hanging around him too. Funny stuff happens around him. You know, you just be in an elevator and mm-hmm. a stranger will just kind of be odd.
Mm-hmm.
So he...
Maybe you're just... Your perception changes around him.
Yeah. People kind of carry that around.
Well, he... Like, I would imagine that would happen. If you're with him, you would sort of see the world like that and everybody. It's sort of like... there's a few comic book artists. Like, why am I forgetting his name? Daniel Clowes. Even R. Crumb and stuff, that if you read enough of that mm-hmm. stuff, your perception sort of shifts
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of see the grotesque nature right alongside of the beauty of all things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's nice.
It is nice. Yeah.
Have you gone down to the new museum?
Whitney?
Yeah.
No, I got to go to the Whitney.
Did you do the Whitney?
I just got here. Just got here.
Oh, wow.
Didn't it just
when?
Open? I got here the day before yesterday and I did the, I did a thing. And then, like, I've been told to go over there. It's
to the
so
Whitney,
nice.
Right?
Yeah, but is it crazy lines and shit?
On the weekend, yeah.
Maybe during the week I'll go.
Yeah.
Did you go?
I haven't gone yet.
But you're talking about the new museum
here. Yeah.
The Groovy
because
Museum.
Because it's right there, yeah.
The cool shit. Where you're like, today, these are just, they're just pen on tile pieces.
I know the art world. I have a couple of friends who are artists. It's kind of scary now.
Is it? Why?
It's art. It's difficult.
I know.
I'm
dating
age.
A painter.
Yeah.
And it's like it's its own thing, but it's like it's very small.
Yeah, the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 12 people.
Yeah.
It's hard
and
to make a living.
And does she work it? Is she good at like schmoozing, or is she in the clique,
well,
or is she
not? She's like sort of like a
because there are politics involved.
All politics, but she's doing okay. From what I understand.
Cool.
How's your friend doing?
She's doing okay, although she doesn't have a gallery anymore.
Is she a painter?
Yeah, she's a painter. She's amazing. She does these inverted, reflected landscapes, like reflections of a pond. They're huge.
And she doesn't have a gallery anymore?
No.
So she's out there in the wild?
No, yeah. She's moving around. They're feeling it out.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard life in the arts.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
All right, so, okay, so you go.
All right, North Carolina, a School of the Arts.
On the summers.
And to SUNY Purchase. I heard about SUNY Purchase as an acting school.
But what were you get? What kind of direction were you getting when, like, you know, how does it start? When, you, like, where, who would you say your first training comes from? Because I never know how actors
the TV.
Just, right. Actors
as a
are,
child.
Either you've got it or you don't.
I was fascinated by TV, yeah.
But nobody, like, said, like, here's some acting tips.
No, no.
You're just like, we're doing plays.
Yeah. But, you know, it's my dad. It's my parents. Like, they were kind of observant, eccentric people, you know.
Your mom's still around, too, right?
Yeah.
Right. We covered that.
So they
what does she do?
She doesn't have a job, but she went to culinary school in New Orleans. She's an amazing cook, and she loves
really?
Food. So she's really creative. She's got great style, and
she just can. Just,
she's kind of a Southern belle, like all that Southern living and all
she
that
can
stuff.
Whip stuff.
She
up.
Likes to do all that,
make breads and things.
Yeah, they go to New Orleans and like. Yeah,
where do they live now?
In a town called Laurel.
So they're in Louisiana still.
That's in Mississippi, but it's 2 hours away. It's 2 hours.
Why Mississippi?
Away. My dad got transferred there.
For the car job?
Yeah. So we moved from Louisiana to Mississippi.
So the car dealership is sort of like being in the Army? You just get stationed places? we stationed you at another dealership?
Oh. Yeah, he plays golf.
But you're a real Southern person.
Yeah. Yeah. Who had to leave? You know?
You got ran out?
I wanted to leave very early.
Why?
Because it was provincial and small town and I wanted to, do you remember the Family Affair, Buffy and Jody and Mr. French? Remember that
Sebastian
show?
Sebastian Cabot and Brian
Sebastian
Keith
Cabot.
And Jody.
And they lived in this apartment.
Yeah, in the townhouse, right? Is it,
yeah,
it in New York?
Yeah, but it was a huge building. I think it was in New York or Chicago?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. So what?
I think maybe it was New York.
That's how you wanted
but
to live?
But that's how I wanted to live. I wanted to live in one of those places with a lot of people around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so okay, so you do plays in high school. You go into the thing. You're going. What else did you do? Did you do okay in school?
In high school,
yeah.
Or like grades and stuff. I was already out there. Yeah, I liked English, but I didn't. I dropped accounting. I couldn't even deal.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't even count.
You're pretty level-headed.
I cheated
kid.
On tests. Sure. Yeah, I'd write answers on my shoes.
Right, and for accounting.
Yeah.
Who needs it? Math in general.
Mm-mm.
Not of any use
like,
to me.
Someone who knows how to do this is going to take care of this for me.
And you were pretty level-headed? You didn't get fucked up?
No, you know, I was pretty serious. I like to read and empathize with, you know, characters and books and, movies and... You know, when I saw, like, My Dinner with Andre as a 13 or 14-year-old, I loved that.
Who showed you that movie?
It was on PBS.
Were your parents, like, sort of, well, your mom was a, were they?
Well, they were into that.
Sophisticated?
They were into good, yeah, I guess so, yeah, like, good taste.
High-minded?
Opinionated, high-minded, yeah, high-minded,
but I mean, like, if they're like, yeah,
movies,
go ahead and watch
movie
that.
Stuff,
yeah.
Like, that's not really funny, you know, this is funny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like
oh,
that.
Yeah? Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, And a good, like, camp sensibility.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When Mommy Dearest would come on, we'd...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'd watch that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd go, like...
Get some laughs.
That's like you, Mom, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's very nice.
Right?
What'd your brother end up doing?
My, yeah, because my mother's mother, Faye, was kind of a star, and she really felt, like, to me, like Joan Crawford or Susan Hayward. Like, she really clomped around in high heels and acted like a movie star and made her own clothes and...
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's very dramatic. What did you asked about
my brother? Yeah, what's he do?
He took over the dealership for my dad. So
he's in cars.
Yeah, yeah. He's overseeing all that, and you know, the car business is not doing well. I love my sister-in-law, Colm. They have three kids.
That's nice.
Yeah, they come up here.
Yeah.
So they
hang
like
out
to travel. Yeah.
And you get to see him?
Especially my I'm not as close to my brother as I am to my sister-in-law, but
his wife.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What
that's
did
right.
did it go? Did something waver at some point?
No, I think it was. It's just always kind
You've
of been like
twins.
That. I know.
So there's no mystical connection.
There's a little bit. There's
no deep
bit.
Understanding. It's weird with siblings, I guess. There's a familiarity, yet you get distant, you know?
Yeah. Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I got a little brother. We're very, you know, instinctively we're wired very similarly.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know people's lives if mm-hmm. you're not in them. So, you know.
That's right. And I'm like.
It's impossible to catch up sometimes.
I'm kind of an anomaly to my, you know, family.
What the?
I have this
the movie
all
actress.
Yeah, like
she's
what?
In New York, being in plays.
Yeah,
acting in movies. Do mm-hmm. they like your work though?
They love the Chris Guest movies, but like when I did Superman Returns.
Yeah.
I remember my dad and I were having this conversation in the car, and he
that's a big movie, right?
Yeah, and he was telling me he was talking to me about teaching. He's mm-hmm. like, you know, you maybe you should think about teaching.
It's the worst.
And I
should do something where you can get a pension of some kind.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I'm in a big movie that's coming out, and Superman Returns. And then when he saw it, his comment was, he said, well, I wasn't bored.
Ugh. That's brutal.
Makes a comedian.
Yeah.
Makes a funny one.
I know, but
it's a tough house.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's weird when you do this. Like, they don't know how. They don't understand the nature of the business necessarily.
No.
So they can only, there's constant concern unless, I don't know what it would take
yeah.
you know, for them to go like, oh, she's good. What would you have to be on?
It's not a real job.
Right. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Oh, God.
Yeah. It's hard.
They're concerned. That's the thing. It doesn't come out of anything other than that.
Yeah. And fear.
Right. Yeah. You're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when did you, so you went to LA when?
I never went to LA.
Oh, all right. But you were there at the Geffen Playhouse.
Yeah, I was there in.
They cast.
Okay,
you here?
So I went to SUNY Purchase. I got a job on a soap. My
soap?
Senior year in college, As the World Turns.
Oh yeah.
And
how was that experience? How many did you do? Like a million? Like did you do 100 episodes?
I was on only for a year and 4 months. They wanted me for 3 years, but yeah. I had just gotten out of school. I was like, I'm not gonna go somewhere for 3 years.
And be that in that world.
After 4 years of college. And so I had a year and a half contract.
Where'd they shoot it?
In New York on 57th Street.
Was it just a weird world of soaps? Like,
yeah,
was it bizarre?
I loved it.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like every day? Did you go?
Yeah, almost every day.
And the scripts
churned
out?
I mean, it was hard. Yeah, it was really hard.
You're working with all those.
It made me laugh, you know?
Yeah, you're working with all the soap opera actresses
and
actors? Yeah,
they could really turn it on, you know? Just the waterworks,
that must have been a real lesson in the profession of acting.
Yeah.
Like, just like drop of a dime.
Oh, yeah.
Crying.
And not like, you know, face moving and just like tears, like, you know, Demi Moore tears. Uh-huh. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real instrument and style and tone that they can just like turn that on. Some of the directors could let me be a little more camp,
right?
You know,
but that's a hell of an education just to see that, because like on a practical level, just in terms of the job of acting,
yeah,
that's really the job,
yeah,
in some weird way.
Mm-hmm.
But you got out.
I got out. Yeah, I wanted to. I didn't want to be. I was. Especially just so much more of a free spirit then, you know, than I am now. And I couldn't, I wanted to work in independent film. So, I got a job at Dazed and Confused when I was on the soap. So I went to Austin to do that.
And that was kind of like the heyday of the first wave of those, or maybe just the second wave of independent films, you know, just post John Sayles and the few other people, then Linklater and those guys started doing
it. Yeah.
And that was a huge movie.
Yeah.
For young actors and actresses.
I know. It was amazing. And there were, you know, screen tests.
Everybody was in that movie.
The callback was like, you know, 35 people.
I became friends with Adam Goldberg. He's in that.
Oh, I love him.
He's great. Yeah.
He's great.
He's very
funny.
How
did you meet Adam?
I had him on I had him on the podcast, and because we seemed to, people wanted us to know each other. And then I used him in an episode of my show this last season. And then, like, I don't know, we hang out occasionally.
What is your show like?
It's a half hour scripted comedy based on a guy who does a podcast in his garage, and his wife is sort of.
Where did you
in
get
shambles.
That idea from?
It's a stretch, you know, it's crazy idea.
And are you gonna have people like me come on and talk to you on the show?
They've
Is
done
that.
That
happens?
They, yeah, I've used people playing themselves mm-hmm. in my show. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've used a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I'll use you if we do another season.
Okay, okay.
It's the third season. And you can come.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and
I'm
Adam.
I'm surprised I didn't know about this.
It's on IFC.
Okay.
So like a lot of people are like, IFC, I got to check if I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix, the first two seasons.
Yeah, okay,
it gets good.
Good
in the middle of the second season.
Great. It's better. Of course. So Adam's on the show, and what does he play?
He plays a professor at a college, an old friend of mine who's now a professor at a college. And I go and I go visit him, and he's kind of sexually obsessed with a student who...
He does or you do?
He does.
Oh.
And he's in a bit of trouble.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
How old is the student?
20. Graduate okay. student. We made it.
Oh, good.
Relatively acceptable. He's 22. Speaking of that, I just watched a trailer of the new Woody Allen movie.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be... I got nervous. I'm like, oh, is this like my show? Is this going to be the similar thing? Is this going to step on my idea?
Not at all.
But you're with Joaquin Phoenix mm-hmm. and the pretty girl.
Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really...
That's your first Woody Allen movie?
Yes, I met him 20 years ago for Bullets Over Broadway. I was asked to be in the jury at the Krakow Film Festival in Poland.
That's a tough gig to get. Good for you.
Thank you. I was really, really, I felt really blessed to be there.
Yeah.
So they've been asking me to, come be on the jury for years. And finally I said yes. And, you just watch a bunch of movies. And I took a girlfriend and Juliette Taylor, Woody Allen's casting director,
right.
was on the jury with me. So we got a little closer, I guess, or she got a real sense of who I was. And after all that was over, I was in such a suffering place in that last year. I got back on a Monday. I met Woody on a Thursday, and then I got cast on Friday. I got material on Friday.
Wow.
And so it happened very quickly.
You were in a suffering place last year?
Yeah. I was not good last year.
Why?
Just how things can accumulate. I'd say Philip Seymour Hoffman's death.
Right.
Robin Williams' death.
Yeah.
The state of the culture. Not worrying about if I have a place, if I fit in.
Life crisis.
Yeah. Really scared.
Just that, did you know Robin? Or you knew...
No.
But you knew Philip?
Yeah, but it was this...
I know what you're talking about. The what's
like,
the point? Right?
What's the point? But also, I felt... God, if they were creatively satisfied and doing more meaningful material, maybe they could have held on to that.
Yeah,
because I get so depressed at the kind of the lack of
right
humanity and material and humor and things that I like to do. So just feeling a little out of style or out of place
mm-hmm.
in the culture. But that's just part of it. That's what's called longevity. Of course I'm going to feel that,
Part of aging.
And aging, yeah.
Yeah, because I find that I feel that way too sometimes. It's not so much being whether I'm part of it or not, but sort of like, what's the point and how do you maintain the excitement?
Well, I'm excited now.
Yeah, you seem good now. Went through a dark tunnel though, huh?
Yeah, I did.
How'd you handle that? I mean, did you just wait it out? Did you sleep all day?
You know what happened is...
You have a therapist.
I did a play, of course. I have a great one. I did a play at Yale, and they moved it to Broadway without me because I wasn't a big enough name.
And that was what started it?
Yeah, that was just one of the things.
Ugh.
And so that
kind of rips open the insecurity and, who am I? What? And then, other things happen, and then you see it all through that lens.
Yeah.
And then it just starts to crush you.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get scared, you know? And then you think, maybe I don't know how to do it anymore. Maybe I'm not good anymore. I've lost it or something.
Acting or just...
Yeah, which is stupid. But I always feel like that when I work. It's...
Right. What was the play?
The Realistic Joneses.
Huh. Who was the big name they got?
Well, Tracy Letts was in it. Do you know Tracy Letts?
The playwright?
Yeah. And right, Michael C. Hall and Marissa Tomei replaced my part, and Toni Collette replaced Johanna Day's part.
Is it still running?
No.
Did it not take off?
No, it didn't. It didn't.
It's a big cast.
It was a big cast, but I think it was a small play, and I don't even think it worked on a big stage. So that got me a little nervous.
So this career nervous, and then that gets attached to age fear and talent fear, and like, yeah, what do I got to do?
Sensitivity.
Because you work like a lot over the years.
Over the years, I have, yeah, over the years. But now I'm gonna work on my own material.
Yeah. Well, so okay. So Woody Cassidy in 2 days.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what was the audition like?
You go in shaking, his hand with one hand, and the other your foot is out the door.
Oh, really?
It's like, so it's impersonal. Hi, how are you?
You're just like actor meet.
Yeah. Juliet brought you here because there's a part in film that I'm shooting in Rhode Island.
Impersonal, or was it candid?
I'm like, I know, I heard all about it. It sounds amazing.
You're all jacked
up. Like, oh my God, Joaquin Phoenix, he's incredible. And
yeah,
it sounds great. And so I talked about Poland, and maybe like 4 or 5 minutes, we just talked a little bit, and I ran out, and that was it.
And you got the call.
Yeah, I got the call,
and you're like, everything's good again.
You know what it did? It made me. I got the call in the dog run, and I just I burst into tears. I was like, I feel like such a gambler.
Really?
My life feels like, yeah, I'm
That's
gambling.
The feeling?
I have no, like, these jobs come out of nowhere, you know? And
but what's the alternative? I mean, this is the way
I can't do anything else. Yeah. I'm stuck.
No, you're not stuck. You're working.
Yeah, I'm working.
kind of weird, though. Like, I'm just like, this is a crazy way to live now that I'm 45 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, there's no plan B.
Yeah, that's right. I do have ideas, though. I have ideas of, like, leaving the business.
All right, we'll talk about them, and I can maybe guide you. No, I'd like to. I can either, like, tell you, like, yay or nay, or... That's not a good idea, Parker Posey.
I don't think that'll work. But
no, that seems crazy.
You can keep that alive in your imagination if you want.
I actually want to hear those, but I want to hear what it was like working with Joaquin. I hear he smokes a lot.
Cigarettes, yeah. He does smoke.
I talked to Paul Thomas Anderson. Both of them. Because Paul doesn't smoke much. Mm-hmm. Like, but he said that like when you're around Joaquin, you're like, you're going to smoke.
Yep. You're going to smoke a pack a day. Oh, I just I just love his acting.
You do.
He's so idiosyncratic and sensitive.
You guys seem like you'd be good together. You both seem very emotionally reactive and real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But was it lighthearted? It didn't seem like that heavy an undertaking.
I can't talk about the movie.
Oh yeah.
I'm not allowed. There's like some one line.
Oh, okay.
Thing that, yeah.
Well, can you talk about acting with him? How was it? Did you guys get along? Like,
of course, yes. So we're both really nervous about being in a Woody Allen movie. We're sweating all the time. I just broke my wrist. We met at the screen test.
In going into it, was there any sort of aversion about, like, the media accusations and the accusations like from his kid and all that stuff? No one thinks about that?
Separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing a movie a year for
forever,
like 40 years.
I know, it's crazy. Some of them are good, some of them not so good.
Right.
Happens.
Yeah, life.
All right, so you and
Joaquin.
He has
a biographer on set that's been following him too. Yeah.
For 40
Eric,
years?
Yeah, named Eric Lax.
For 40 years?
Yeah.
Oh, Lax already wrote a book on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's back? He's writing the second part two?
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
Mm-hmm. So Joaquin was great. We got along right away. He felt like a brother to me.
Right.
He wasn't too far from me, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt very familial. And, you know, there's something about him too. You want to take care of him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can feel that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's sensitive. I don't think I could step in and say, are you okay? Do you need some food? Are you eating all right?
You know, he's a vegetarian.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a vegetarian. And he convinced his parents to become vegetarians when he was like a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've never met him.
Stop eating meat.
I saw him sleeping on a plane once. I didn't bother him.
Yeah.
It's not right.
No. Wake up.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Hey. Just want to tell you, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, yeah. I want to do the podcast sometimes. Don't go back to sleep. I'm not in first class a lot. So I just got excited. I'm behind you.
You pass him a note. Yeah. So a Sky Mall mag. Yeah. So I felt, you know, you only do like 2 or 3 or 4 takes usually.
What's his directing? Does he just expect you to do it?
Be there immediately. Yeah.
Right. That's what I heard.
So it's that can be kind of intense. And then he also does this where he says, you know, what I wrote isn't very good. If you want to add anything, feel free.
Oh, really?
And you're like, okay, sure. I'm feeling great. You're like, blah, blah, blah. And then you hear, that's terrible.
Oh,
that's
really?
What I heard. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, sweat marks. I'm dying. I'm like, it's all good. So I'll never act again. This is my last movie. So
you did a little improvising and he was like, no,
terrible. You're like, ah. So that was funny.
And then
what happened? Just like screaming and laughing. You know, he's so sardonic. He has such a wit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it
took a while to get it right or what? How'd you know you were doing well?
You can feel it. You know, you can just feel it. Uh-huh. You can feel it around you when you've hit the right.
Right.
The right tone. And here's the other interesting thing is like I was only given 20 pages of the script, so I only have my part
in like really?
A 115 page
interesting film. That's the way he does it. Is that the way everybody gets it?
So
that's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I didn't know what kind of movie I was in
all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, I got it, you know, on the last day I started reading the script and you know, so I left a script and I was like, I'm gonna like look.
Oh, I'm really? See, you're not even supposed to look? That's an understanding. You're like, don't look at the story that you're part of telling.
But no, it was exciting, and you know, he's the real deal. There's
Woody Allen.
There's only few directors that have a career in this country of an auteur. So you know that you trust that process completely. You're not gonna
right. Excuse
nothing.
Me, Mr. Allen.
I don't know. Maybe I'll try this. Yeah. What do you think? You know, like none of that.
Yeah.
None of that. I mean, if you did, like, there would be people would just be so you know,
it'd be like this weird tension like, on the set.
Yeah. Like, don't.
The room clears and it's just you and Woody. Don't ever. She turns into Satan. What are you doing?
But he's, it was fun. It was really fun.
Well, what other directors have you worked with that had that kind of impact where you knew you were dealing with a visionary? You work with Hal Hartley, didn't you? How many movies did you do with him?
Yeah.
Did you do two or one?
Like three,
I think. Three of all those? The whole trilogy? Isn't he doing another one?
Mm-hmm. He just did another one.
Were you in it?
Mm-hmm. Briefly. Yeah, he raised his money on Kickstarter. It was the third installment. It was Henry Fool, and then I was in Faye Grimm, and the last one is Simon uh-huh. Grimm, my son. I have a few scenes in that. We shot them all in one day.
Oh, really?
18 pages of dialogue
in
one day.
It's a lot.
See, this is the thing about independent movies now, you know?
I know. I do a TV show like that where I do, you know, 9 to 15 pages.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of time.
Because it's a budget thing, so it's certainly not going to help you make more money.
No,
but you get to be in the movie.
But Christopher Guest is like that too. I mean, he's a real
visionary.
I love working with great directors.
Who else is in your mind?
Rick Linklater really stands.
Oh, Dazed and Confused. Yeah. That must have been so fun.
Yeah.
What a crazy time that was. I talked to him recently.
He's got a real ease, you know.
Well, he's a sweet guy. You know, he's like, you know, he's like really level.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's solid, man.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, let's talk about as we come in for landing here.
We're landing now. What time?
Almost. Okay. What, do you want? I'll talk more. I'll spend the day with you.
That's
I don't give a fuck. I'll move in. Where are we going? I'm
yeah,
ready
let's
for
go
a change.
Outside. Yeah.
It's hard to walk around with mics. People always look at you. Just two people walking around with mics. But we can go.
Have you ever tried that?
I have. I did it.
Walking
in,
with.
Yeah. With.
That's a good idea.
With. It's a little. It's a little weird. It's a little hard to manage.
Yeah.
But I did it with a comic in San Antonio, I think. Mm-hmm. We went outdoors. I did a car interview with Maria Bamford. And
wow, you've interviewed everyone. And now Terry
Gross.
Do
you know Bamford?
No.
You should check her shit out. You would love her.
What's her name again?
Maria Bamford.
Okay.
You would
Is
love her.
Is she a comedian?
Yes, but she's a genius.
Is she a storyteller?
She's just, you don't even understand what's happening.
Oh, that's great.
You'll be like, what's happening?
Even better.
Oh, no, you gotta watch her. All right, so what are these other business ideas?
Oh, whatever. I don't want to talk about business.
No, no. I want to know what
no,
the big
it's
ideas
too much.
Were.
I'd rather keep it in the bottle now.
I was excited to slam some of
you
your
know what?
Life
it's
goals.
Of, it's kind of complex. It has various parts to it.
Big,
so,
big plan. Empire building?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Does it deal with like a scent or lotions? Of,
oh, that's a... It could.
Maybe.
Maybe
like your own line of things, like turmeric-based?
Mm-hmm,
turmeric?
Turmeric.
Yeah?
Yeah, I won't go into it because you know what?
What? You don't want me to ruin it? You're really hanging on to this thing? It's like you're protecting it so
yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
get dirty with other people's opinions
that's
of
right,
it?
That's right.
The dream? You don't want... You're protecting your dream of your way out of show business. Is that what you're doing?
Well, it's not. It's like new. It's new. I'm interested in like a new. There's a new form.
Oh yeah.
I think.
Okay.
How people like this podcast? What you're doing?
Yeah.
Storytelling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I miss a lot of things about acting that I don't see a lot anymore.
Like.
Ease.
Mm. Ease.
Slowness.
Mm-hmm.
Wit.
Yeah. How about risks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And nuance. Are you about to yawn? You're
no,
stifling
I just burped.
A yawn.
No, I burped. Stifled a burp.
I miss yawning. Don't you want to just watch people yawn?
I do. Sometimes I watch people yawn. I'm like, that's like, why are they yawning? Like sometimes there's some yawns. I have theories about it.
Okay.
Like I think some yawns when you're talking to somebody and they do that yawn where it doesn't look like a tired yawn, but it's some other thing, they're gasping for air. You're draining them. Where they're like, this yawn, where they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that one, that's a bad yawn. Because it's not tired. It's sort of like they're trying to get out. And
yeah.
It's hostage yawn.
Oh, you're sad.
I gotta get out of here. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, that's a bad yawn.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Well, we should stop.
Let's stop. Can we say goodbye now?
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Lovely chat with Parker Posey and her dog, Gracie. Present. All right, so you got all the tour dates. Go to WTFpod.com and get some coffee. Get on the mailing list. So I'll send you an email. Do, you know, enjoy some merch. There'll be more merch coming, more posters. And now I'm going to take a shame nap. Okay. New York City. Boomer lives.